JC Corcoran Podcast.
Ray Romano coming to St. Louis at the Westport Playhouse Saturday, June 6th. Hailed by Entertainment Weekly as the best new TV actor in 1996. Ray, big cash award that comes with that?
Yeah, I don't know. Ask my wife. I don't see any of my money. But I'm doing it for the love of the craft.
So this is kind of a throwback, I guess, to what you used to do before you started with the TV series. You did stand-up for a lot of years.
Yeah, only it was for about one-tenth the amount of people and one-tenth the amount of money. I mean, now it's cool because we're playing these theaters. You know, I'm used to being on the road and playing all the comedy nightclubs. But this is fun because it's big theaters and also it's fans of the show, of the TV show. So they're happy when before they even get there.
Yeah, but I mean, that brings up an interesting point, though, Ray, because obviously the TV show has got to help a lot. But you must be sitting there banging your head going, you know what? I'm just as funny now as I was a couple of years ago when I was playing small, you know, 100-seat comedy clubs.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's always the case. Yeah. It's look, you know what? Jerry Seinfeld explained it, that once you become whatever, famous, if you want to say that. In my case, I don't know how true that is. But when people come out to see you and they know you, for the first 10 minutes, no matter what you say, they're going to laugh at you. But after that, you got to be funny just like it was before you had a TV show. You know, they just laugh on the merit of the joke, you know. And it's the same jokes, basically. It's the same me. It's the same act. But, you know, that's the nature of being on television, I guess.
The show is called Everybody Loves Raymond.
Unfortunately.
Well, you don't like the title?
Are you kidding? How would you like it? It's a great title if you're not Raymond.
In reality, does everybody like you?
Except myself. Everyone except myself. No, I hope not. God, that'd be boring, wouldn't it? I don't know. You know what it is in reality is I'm such a wimp that I'm very non-confrontational, so I need everyone. That's the thing about a comic is you need everyone to love you, and you hate yourself. I mean, that's a comic in a nutshell.
Well, I'll tell you, some people will do almost anything to get out of work, and I guess it was 2 months ago, you were actually supposed to be here in St. Louis, part of the Bob Costas Celebrity Fundraiser, and you go ahead and you have a baby that week.
I didn't feel like traveling.
push, honey.
I saw the weather report, so I took my wife for a walk, and I knew her water would break. we had our fourth child, our finale. Not even the finale. It was the encore. We thought we were done at three, but we had our fourth little boy 2 months ago. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. How'd that turn out?
It turned out absolutely great. Jeff Cesario stepped in and did a fine job.
Oh, I like him. Yeah, great.
Now, what about your fourth kid? And that means that obviously you were having babies at a time before your career really took off.
Yeah.
And some people would say, my God, that's pretty ballsy to have all these kids.
Excuse the pun.
Before you have enough money to, you know, keep them all in diapers. That's kind of amazing.
Well, I mean, I was doing stand-up and working during the day when we had our first kid, and then we ended up having twins.
Now, wait a minute. When you say you were working during the day, what was your other job?
My friend owned a futon mattress company. Yeah, and I was his guy. I was the everything guy, the foreman, the deliveries, everything. I did all his work, and it was flexible so I could still do my stand-up at night.
So you didn't actually sell the futons. You just made the mattresses for the futons.
I made them, I delivered them, I repaired them, I took care of, all customer service.
Ray, for somebody shopping for a futon, perhaps the Futon Express here in St. Louis, for somebody shopping for a futon, what are the pitfalls? What should they watch out for?
There are no pitfalls. The great thing about a futon is there's such a wide range of people that it appeals to. It appeals to someone who's just looking for something affordable. I can't believe we're going into my shit here. You know what I'm saying?
If
you have a small apartment, and that's the only thing, and yet it's kind of chic too. So, the hip people want it. I still have my futon that I stole from him. Whoops. Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong. It was an interesting job actually, because we delivered to celebrities. We delivered to all walks of society.
Who's the biggest celebrity you delivered a futon to?
Oh, Cher. We delivered to Cher.
Cher has a futon.
Yeah, she had a futon. I think she bought it for Elijah at the time. And we delivered to Robert De Niro, but he wasn't there. We gave it to the person in this house. But Judd Hirsch, who I just did a promo with for his show, George and Leo.
Sure.
I delivered a futon to him. I remember he wouldn't let us in the apartment. He said, just leave it here in the hall. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
On the show, Everybody Loves Raymond, which, of course, airs on CBS Channel 4 here in St. Louis, and the title that Ray adores. You know, so much of the show allegedly is taken from your real life, and you have a great set of characters playing your parents, Doris Roberts and Peter Boyle, a couple of the very, very funny people working in show business. Do your parents in real life actually live across the street from you by any chance, or did they?
In real life, when I got married, I lived at home until I got married, which was 29.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, you can call me whatever you want. and then I moved only about a quarter of a mile away, but it was as good as being next door because they were over every day.
So it's just like the show. They just, like, bust in the front door at any time.
Yeah, especially my father. Every character on the show is based on the characters, and they're all exaggerated a little, except for the father. You know, whatever you see Peter Boyle do on the show, guaranteed my father has done in real life, except maybe without pants on, you know? He's proud of it.
You know, has your father ever eaten dinner at the dinner table in his underwear? Because we had this discussion on the air a couple of months ago, and, you know, my father did.
Put it this way, if he did, he'd be the only one there at the table. And I think our appetite we'd lose our appetite pretty quick. He's done a lot of weird stuff. Everything he does on, you know, we make up stories, you know?
Sure.
We have to write stories. But he'll take credit. Like when the next day after our show will air, he'll go to the Elks, and the guys will ask him, "Did you really do that? Did you neuter the dog?" You know, and he did neuter, but he'll say yes, he did. He'll take credit for it. Oh yeah, I neutered the dog. What do you think?
Ray, it's great to talk to you.
Thanks
for the conversation, and thank you for the futon advice. And we'll see you here in St. Louis very soon.
Also, let me just say, my stand-up show is funnier than my radio interview.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, St. Louis, it's Ray Romano, and you know my show on CBS and Channel 4 here in St. Louis, Everybody Loves Raymond. Well, everybody tolerates JC and the Breakfast Club.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, November 18th, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? Sorry about yesterday. It's a long story. I won't bore you with it. Here we go is all I can say. Well, I'll confess to being a little surprised that we still don't have a verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. So we have been watching this thing out of South Carolina. I think those guys are in trouble. Rittenhouse is going to walk. I think everybody knows that by now. I don't even think anymore that they're going to get him on the lesser charges. I think originally I thought that, well, he's going to get off on all these major, major charges, but they might get, you know, the minor charges could still carry like a 12-year prison sentence. So that's nothing to sort of sneeze at, but probably get something today, I would think. And then we wait to see if they set Kenosha, Wisconsin on fire, which I suspect they will. This is an interesting anniversary today, and if you were around in 1978 and conscious, you remember this very, very well. I specify conscious because it was the 70s. A lot of people were still trying to imitate the 60s, and I was around for it, and I distinctly remember this. I was working in Michigan when this was going on, and originally it didn't seem like it was really a huge story. It just seemed like, oh, that's pretty weird. But then, well, what happened was down there in Jonestown in Guyana, the Reverend Jim Jones, a couple of politicians from California, which is where they all moved from, flew down there to sort of have a look around. And, you know, they were like, okay, everything looks all right. And, but I guess towards the end of the trip, the people from Jonestown started getting a little spooked, even though the people who were doing the survey of this whole thing, you know, they were like, look, we're going to fly down there and find out what's going on. These are a bunch of our citizens from California. We've heard about this, and we need to go down there and look around. And apparently everything was going okay, but like towards the end of the trip, somebody got spooked and they just started, you know, shooting people out on the runway as the plane was trying to take off to go back to America. And I guess they figured, okay, the jig's up, and they start handing out the Kool-Aid. Now, a bunch of people ran into the hills and into the, I guess it's the jungle down there. It's Guyana, because they wanted to get away, and they knew what was going on. And apparently, quite a few people did manage to escape. But when they flew over Jonestown initially, they said, oh my gosh, it looks like there could be maybe 50 or 60 people dead here. What they didn't know was that people had taken the Kool-Aid and then they just laid on top of one another. So it was, how many people? Let me see here. 900 suicides. And just think about that for a minute. At least 900 people getting conned into this whole thing in the first place about moving to South America. And Jim Jones, they always said he was charismatic. You know, he had the smoked sunglasses and everything up there on the microphone, speaking a lot of mumbo jumbo. People are just amazing how people get sucked into stuff like this. And interestingly, there was a time, I'm laughing because I know what's coming, and you may have heard this story, but this happened, like I said, 43 years ago today, 1978, Saturday Night Live. You know how they do what are called cold opens? And that's a television term for when they start the show with a sketch before they actually run the intro and then introduce everybody and everything like that. And initially what was supposed to happen was on Saturday Night Live, the cold open 43 years ago this weekend, was a bunch of bodies laying on the stage without any kind of movement at all. Of course, now the audience would be sitting there and they start giggling. Well, what's going to happen here? And all of a sudden you would see in this pile of bodies something that appeared to be moving. And then John Belushi's head was supposed to pop out and he was going to say, live from New York, it's Saturday night. Well, the NBC censors got a hold of that and said, you're not doing that. But it was pitched and they did rehearse it, and but we never saw it. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that started that whole too soon thing. When a comedian makes a joke and somebody yells too soon. I was doing my stand-up last night. I'm down here in Florida for another couple of weeks before we come home for the holidays. And I'm doing a stand-up, and I told this joke. And it was like, make sure you stop at the bar. We have a special drink tonight called the Rittenhouse. And the Rittenhouse is a chaser followed by three shots. Good morning, everybody. And so, there were a couple of groans. And I look at it, I go, what? Don't tell me. Too soon. I'll decide when it's too soon. What are you going to do? Wait for 6 months and then try to tell the joke? It won't work. The only time it works is now. It is possible there are going to be some major travel issues for pretty much everybody, especially in the entire sort of eastern half of the United States, because there's supposed to be a blizzard plus a freezing rain and just really, really, I shouldn't say blizzard, but some snow. Okay, let's just say some snow, but heavy stuff in the snow bands in the areas that, you know, where the you know, the snow squalls come off the lakes and they dump amazing amounts of snow in places like northern Indiana and Michigan and upstate Pennsylvania and stuff like that. So it's expected to go in the direction of the Northeast, New York, Boston, and places like that. So if you are flying, particularly on Monday, I would be ready with alternate plans just in case you want to be featured in a remake of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles here, okay? And as we all know, all the weather has to do is be a problem in places like New York and Chicago, and that will gum up everything across the country because of all the connecting flights and the hubs and stuff like that. All of this, of course, harkens back to the days of the travel weather line. This is when Dave Murray and the people at Fox 2, and I think even before Dave got there, I don't know, it was Ron Yaros, I think, possibly, was there at the time. But anyhow, what you would do, they would stack up a room full of weather interns and students from the meteorology departments at various schools in the area, primarily over at Parks in Illinois and Metro East. And they would stick them in a room with a bunch of Jolt Cola and Dunkin' Donuts and say, all right, start answering the phone. And then the anchor people on Fox, too, would give out the number and say, if you're traveling this holiday weekend, just call this number and we'll get you a personalized weather forecast. And so people would call the number, and one of these meteorology students would answer the phone and they say, okay, we're driving from St. Louis to Detroit on Tuesday. What's the weather going to be? And this kid would sit there and go, let me see here. Did you say Detroit? Yes, we're going to Detroit. We're driving on Tuesday. And the kid would look at the map and go, oh, you're fucked. This is going to be 2 feet of snow. I'd call off the trip. By the way, I was looking for this morning. I know I made a note of it somewhere, but I can't find it. But the original stars of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles were not supposed to be Steve Martin and John Candy. It was supposed to be John Travolta and Dustin Hoffman or something. And of course, now it's hard to even imagine anybody but Steve Martin and John Candy in those roles. We'll talk more about PT&A next week. We're also going to talk about Die Hard next week. Oh, don't even get me started on Die Hard as a Christmas movie. We'll get to it. Pete Davidson, again, continues to apparently be shooting diamonds out of his penis. I don't know how he's doing this. He had his birthday celebration with Kim Kardashian, and for some reason, Flavor Flav. Flav even called Pete his adopted son, and he let him wear his clock around his neck, which he claims he never does for anybody else. We've got this Ghostbusters movie coming out. Paul Rudd is in it, and it's been getting a lot of play on TV. They're running commercials out the wazoo, and of course, they take these quotes from movie critics, people you've never heard of. I mean, it used to mean something. It used to mean something when we would take these quotes from Gene Siskel or Roger Ebert or even some of the critics from the New York Times or the LA Times or the Chicago Tribune or something like that. And now, well, first of all, when they flash the quote on the screen during the commercial, it's on for like a billionth of a second. It's almost subliminal. So if you really want to see it, you got to go back and then freeze it and see who it is. And then go, what the hell is the website JoeBlow.com? You know, that's one of the main problems with the internet and social media is that you used to have to sort of earn the right to be taken seriously or to be taken credibly. Now all you have to do is have a website and say what the movie studios want you to say. But as you might suspect, the commercials all are like, oh my God, it's the movie of the year. It's the greatest comedy ever. On and on it goes. Well, Ghostbusters Afterlife, which opens tomorrow, has got a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 66% as it comes crashing back down to reality. I'm seeing House of Gucci this evening. And then the other one is that dog movie. What is it called? The Power of the Dog. I'm seeing that today, too. So we got a doubleheader today. But that's normal for this time of year. Every November and early December, it is a critics fest because all we do is see movies. Like I said, there's some times where I've seen three movies in one day because they're trying to get everything eligible for the Oscars. And of course, obviously, with the big movie going season coming up during the holidays, everything big is coming out. Oh, by the way, yesterday on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, I put up the latest trailer for American Underdog. There's been one trailer released up until now, but then yesterday they released a new one, so I put that up too. I don't think it's as good as the first one. The first one was really effective and made me much more interested in the movie than I would have been. Not because I don't think it's a great story, but because it's being made by these Christian guys. And when they start with that stuff, well, they don't have a very good record of when they do these faith-based movies, the movies being any good. But anyhow, the new trailer is up again. That's at The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. A new bill introduced in the New York State Senate would make it harder for prosecutors to use a rapper's lyrics against him in court. One of the bill's sponsors says, quote, art is creative expression, not a blueprint of criminal plans. It's time to end the egregious bias, end quote. Basically, what they're saying is, if some rapper says something about wanting to kill cops in a song, doesn't mean that he's actually seriously thinking about doing it. Thursday night football, you've got Atlanta hosting the New England Patriots. The arena where the Lakers and the Clippers play in Southern California undergoing a name change ain't going to be the Staples Center anymore. It is going to be the Crypto.com Arena. It just rolls off the tongue, huh? By the way, speaking of the NFL, former running back Zach Stacy brutally attacked the mother of his 5-year-old son while the kid was right there in the room. All of it was caught on video. Looks like he'll be going away. Late night tonight, Big Sean and Hit Boy. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Ooh, I'll have to make some popcorn for that one. Huh? Nick Offerman, I'm with Kimmel. I don't know why Colbert would be off tonight, but he is. And they're running a rerun there with Bruce Springsteen. Salma Hayek, I'm with James Corden. Seth Meyers as Paul Rudd. And Halle Berry is on with Trevor Noah. I just heard somebody yesterday again say Halle Berry. It's not Holly. Holly is one name. Halle is a different name. And it's spelled different. And it's pronounced different. I interviewed her, oh my God, centuries ago. It was for that stupid Flintstones movie, and she was in that. That had to be, what, 30 years ago? She looked great, but I'm going to tell you something. Not that I'm looking for imperfections in an otherwise nearly perfect physical specimen, but she has very large ears, and it was sort of hard not to notice it. Adam Driver, Lady Gaga were, quote, feeling it during their House of Gucci sex scene. Well, we're going to see that later this evening, and I'll let you know. Also, the trailer for Pam and Tommy is out. I have not seen it yet. I just caught it this morning. I'll try to post that on Facebook also. That would be Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. There's a new trailer for the Maya Rudolph Andy Samberg food competition show called Bakin' It. I get it. It comes out December 2nd on Peacock. I don't know why anybody would have this. I mean, is it me or is this very ghoulish? Remember that coroner in Los Angeles, the celebrity coroner, Dr. Thomas Noguchi? Odd that I would remember that name after all these years. Thomas Noguchi reportedly, I don't know that they ever proved it, but I know they accused him of taking home celebrity body parts after he would do the autopsy. So he would come into work and they would say, we got Anna Nicole Smith out there on the slab. You got to do the autopsy. Okay. And then he would do the autopsy, file the report, but in a little jar, he would, snip something off or remove something. Put it in a little jar and then take it home. Well, now we hear the actual crown from Elvis's mouth is hitting the auction block. Now, how did somebody get that? How is that legal? Why? And how would you authenticate this, by the way? Can you take DNA samples from a tooth? And it isn't even a tooth. It's a crown. So how would you even prove it? Some weird motherfuckers out there, I'm telling you. Birthdays today, Damon Wayans Jr., 39. Nassim Pedrad, who did some really funny stuff on Saturday Night Live, she's 40 today. David Ortiz, Big Poppy, is 46. Chloe 70 from, oh my gosh, Big Love. She's 47. Megyn Kelly, over 51. Romany Malco, for my money, one of the funniest people on earth. I can't tell you how funny I find this guy. He was on A Million Little Things. He was in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. He was in one of my favorite movies of all time, Baby Mama, from 2008. And man, is he funny in that too. Romany Malco, 53 today. Owen Wilson, 53. Kevin Nealon, hell of a nice guy, 68. Dennis Haskins, that's Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. He's 71 today, and my guess is still looking good at even 79. Linda Evans from Dynasty. 21 years ago today, the year was 2000. Michael Douglas married Catherine Zeta-Jones. He's older than her dad. Here on the J.C. Corcoran Podcast, whenever we can, we reward people with great creativity. And in all the years that MacGyver was on, I never saw this. 59-year-old woman in Florida named Susan May Shepherd was arrested on Halloween for a DUI, so they threw her into a holding cell at the local jail. She didn't like it there. She said it was scary. So she got creative. She removed the metal wiring from her bra and used it to make numerous scrape marks into the glass on the bottom of the door. Susan's master plan was apparently to escape the jail by crawling out of a small opening in the cell door feet first. It might have taken years, but she was caught before she could make any significant progress. The good news for Susan is she's currently free on $10,000 bond. The bad news is that the stunt with her bra added two more charges: attempt to escape, which is a felony, and criminal mischief, which is a misdemeanor. The big story as we approach Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Christmas and all that stuff is the supply chain issues. 60 Minutes did an absolutely sensational piece about it over the weekend. Well, now Walmart and Target are stepping forward and saying, no, we're okay. We're going to have everything you want. We're not going to have empty shelves. We're all set. Come and get it. So that seems to fly in the face of all the other information that's out there. Either that or they've been laying back on us. Overnight, St. Peter's, the latest area hit by the car break-in gangs. There's got to be, you know, a handful of groups, maybe a half a dozen groups responsible for all of this. You got to believe that they're going to get caught at some. I sure hope so. I sure hope that somebody is laying a trap or figuring out some way to catch these guys. But they hit a different place every night, but they seem to be out every night. Now, here's the thing. Depending on where you are in the city, and that's what we used to say because all this stuff was in the city. You know, now they're hitting, like I said, you know, St. Peter's today, Creve Coeur, all these different places. They're hitting the casinos out in the county and everything like that. So these smash and grab guys apparently are just looking for guns. There's numerous stories of people talking about how they had their windows crashed in, but nothing was taken. And they did get a gun the other night. I think it was from the parking lot of the Blues game. So that seems like what this is all about. But there are certain areas and certain times of the night where it shouldn't be that difficult to catch these guys because it sure seems like most of them are, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old and they're hitting big parking lots. I mean, it seems to me like that's quite a bit of information to be able to start with. We got to catch these guys. People are getting pissed. They're getting really pissed. And for good reason. Today is Old Newsboys Day. For years, radio stations I was on participated in Old Newsboys Day, and that's why I was sick every Christmas. Because instead of doing this in July, where the temperature is 90 degrees and people are already driving along with their windows down, because it's usually, you know, sort of pleasant in the morning, it's pretty easy to approach people and shove a newspaper in their window and try to get some money out of them. But no, we do this in mid-November where it's freezing-ass cold already and people don't want to roll down their windows. And on top of that, they're getting free labor because all the radio stations, and then they throw in some politicians and usually they get Ozzy or something like that to be out there and sort of spearhead the whole thing. But I'm telling you, it's freezing-ass cold out there. You're out there before the sun is even up. And for a period of about, I don't know, 8-10 years there, I think I was sick almost every Christmas. And I know people will say, that's not how you get sick, JC. You don't get sick from being cold. I understand that. But I think there's also proof that if your ability to fight off viruses and things like that are compromised because your body has exercised so much energy trying to keep you warm while you're standing outside hawking newspapers, that it'll bring your resistance down, and then you're more susceptible to viruses. I think that's been proved. And especially back in those days, we were such publicity horrors. You know, you're doing anything to sort of get your name out there, get your image out there, you know, just get people to notice you. That's the name of this game. Sometimes people make fun of us because we're always doing that, and they think that we're big egomaniacs or something, and there's a large degree of that. But this is how the game is played. You can't be a complete stranger coming into St. Louis, flip on the microphone, start talking, and expect everybody to rush to you. You've got to do things to get noticed. And if somebody says, oh, you know, the TV crews will be out, you might even get on TV, you're like, okay, so you slap on a sweatshirt with your radio station call letters on it, and you go out there and you stand on the corner hawking newspapers, and you hope that somehow it helps get you some additional publicity. But after a couple of years of it, and especially a couple of years of being sick, it just sort of occurred to me, it's like, why am I working free for the Post-Dispatch? I didn't even like the Post-Dispatch. And interestingly, like I said, you had all these radio station people, TV station people, politicians, celebrity sports celebrities, stuff like that. The whole time, all those years, I don't think I ever saw anybody from the Post-Dispatch out there when it was 21 degrees at 7 o'clock in the morning selling newspapers. And here's the other thing. Answer this very quickly. Out of the funds generated by the sale of these newspapers on Old Newsboys Day, where does the money go? Wrong. Because to this day, I don't know where the money goes. So after a number of years, I was like, fuck them. Let them sell their own newspapers and I'll be healthy at Christmas for a change. All right, that's it. We are done. I was out very late last night, so I'm not sure how good this sounded today, but I'm sure I'll be rested and back with something just snappy tomorrow. But that's it. Thursday, November 18th, 2021, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. We publish at about 7 o'clock every weekday morning. It's free. We archive all the shows right here. Email me, JC at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.